Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, reading the first three verses. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another." Heavenly Father, once again we open your precious word, and I ask that you teach us from it. Help us to understand. Give us supernatural understanding. For truly your word says that it's interpreted and rightly divided by the help of the Spirit. Our studying is important, and I do a lot of that. Our listening to preachers and teachers and Sunday school teachers or whatever is important, but we need the quickening of the Spirit. Lord, help those listening. Help them to understand. And for me, as I study in preparation for these sermons, give me understanding. For as the man said, "Lord, we would see Jesus." And I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the wonderful name of Jesus, the Savior, the King, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. The book of Daniel is generally divided into two parts. The first six chapters are historical in nature. And by that I mean that we see history. We see the events of history recorded in his book, and again in the first portion of that. In chapter 2, we see prophecy, but generally, the first half of the book deals with events that happened. The second half of the book, chapter 7 through 12, mainly deals with prophecy. And to Daniel, when he was writing prophecy, all of it was future to him. But it's important to understand that Daniel lived several hundred years before Christ came. So some of the events that he wrote about have transpired already, and some, such as the return of Christ himself, have not. But Daniel prophesies of the coming of the Lord, the first coming and the second coming. And when we speak of the first coming of Christ, we generally term it messianic prophecy, a prophecy of the Messiah. The word Messiah in Hebrew means anointed one. In Greek, the word is Christ, but it means the same exact thing, anointed. But then there's the second coming that he prophesied about. And generally, when we think of the second coming, we term it end times prophecy, or the study of last things, the eschaton, which is where we get our word eschatology. But the book of Daniel is generally looked at as the companion to the book of Revelation. Revelation, most of it, of course, deals with last things, or the second coming of Christ, and a great portion of it talks about the Great Tribulation, which transpires after the rapture, and in fact the rapture is the event that kicks off the tribulation. There's the tribulation and the Great Tribulation, and together these events last 7 years. At the end of the Great Tribulation, we have the return of Christ. And I'd like to stop right here and say that I'm happy that Jesus Christ is coming back. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of crooked politicians. I'm tired of two-bit dictators. I'm tired of the toil and struggle of this life. I want Christ to return. The Bible says there's a mansion waiting for me. The Bible says that heaven is paved with gold, the streets thereof. And I'm looking forward to that day. There'll be no more pain, no more toil, no more sorrow. He'll wipe away all tears. And if you're sitting in central lockup this morning as you listen, God has something for you. God cares for you, sir or madam. The Bible says that Jesus sees every sparrow that gets sick, falls to the ground, and dies. He watches over everything, and he sees you, and he watches over you, and he loves you. I want to say that again. God cares for you. No matter what situation you find yourself in, God cares for you. And I would encourage you to open your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to touch you as you listen to this message. Trust in him. Make a decision today to trust in him and to turn your life over to him. There's a better day coming, and you can have heaven in your heart. And when you die, you can know, and I said no, you can know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. Trust him today. But as I said, Daniel is generally thought of as the companion to Revelation. And I'd like to make the statement that if you're struggling to understand the book of Revelation, then you should first study the book of Daniel. It'll explain a lot of things. But the second portion of the book of Daniel, the second half, again, as I said, which begins in chapter 7 and goes to the end, it primarily deals with prophecy. Daniel has a series of visions or dreams, and also he interprets a dream for Nebuchadnezzar. But as we progress through the book, we find these different visions, and they may at first blush seem different. But honestly, God is giving Daniel the same information again and again and again, using different symbols, using different terminology, but it's the same information. It's the same story, in other words, the story of future things. But he gives the same message, but each time it's told in greater detail, but it deals with a smaller portion of the subject. In these final chapters, Daniel talks about many things. For instance, the Antichrist is mentioned. It mentions the different nations that he will come in contact with. It even gives a clue as to what nation the Antichrist will come from, what nation he's going to be born in, or what have you. Now, I'd like to say that I don't know when the Antichrist is going to come. I don't know when the rapture will occur. The Bible says that we're not given to know that. But we do know that there are the signs of the times. We do know that we can look at events and see that God is getting ready. Jesus gave us warnings about that, to be on the look for the signs of the times. Many of you know that I do work down in Haiti. And everyone knows that just a few months ago there was a great earthquake in Haiti. And an awful lot of people died, and a million or so people are without homes. That was a terrible event, but there was also an earthquake in Chile. There was an earthquake in China just a few days ago. There was an earthquake a couple of weeks ago in Mexico. It seems to me that there is an awful lot of earthquakes going on. There was even one, as I record this, yesterday in Utah, something like a 5-point-something earthquake in Utah. One of the signs of the times that Jesus told us about was earthquakes. In the book of Luke, chapter 21, he says in verse 11, "And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven." Now again, I don't know when Christ is coming. And anyone or any group or cult that tells you a certain year or date, he or that cult is in error. No one knows when Christ will return. but we can look at the signs. And there's a great sign that God gave us, which I'm going to get to in just a little bit. But as I said, this second half of the book of Daniel deals with prophecy, and one of the subjects that he deals with is the second coming. In chapter 2, as we studied, we saw that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and it troubled him, and Daniel was called, and he interpreted that dream. And he pointed his finger and said, "Nebuchadnezzar, thou art this head of gold." And he was not talking just about the king, but about his empire or his nation, the kingdom of Babylon. Then the breast and arms of silver, which symbolized the Persian Empire, the Medes and the Persians. Then the belly and thighs of brass, which talked about Alexander the Great, or the Grecian Empire. In other words, the Empire of Greece. Then the legs of iron, which symbolized the Roman Empire. And then the feet, part iron and part clay, which we believe symbolizes the kingdom of the Antichrist. And again, his kingdom will come about during the Great Tribulation. And as I said, the second half of Daniel gives the same message that was given to Nebuchadnezzar. There's a timeline given from this head of gold, the kingdom of Babylon, to the end of the world. It lists the different countries, it lists the different empires, and then at the end of the vision it says a stone came from heaven, and that rock was Christ, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That rock was Christ. Jesus Christ is coming back from heaven, and he will destroy the kingdom of the Antichrist, and he will destroy the kingdoms of the world. This worldly system, this earthly system, we're familiar with governments and empires and dictators and what have you. But one day Christ is coming back and he will wipe all of that away. And his kingdom will last 1,000 years. And he'll rule the nation with a rod of iron, Revelation says. But again, the second half of Daniel tells the same story that we see in chapter 2 of Daniel. He just gives things in more detail. In the book of Exodus, we find the children of Israel in Egypt, and we read the story of the deliverance that God gave to his people by Moses the deliverer and by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, a lamb for a house. But I want you to think about something. The Passover event, which we read about in Exodus, transpired something like 4,000 years ago. The book of Daniel was written something like 2,500 years ago. But if you look on a map or find a globe somewhere, you can find the nation of Egypt. You can find the land of Persia. Now, it's not called Persia. The modern name for Persia is Iran. Also, your map will show Lebanon and Syria. And these nations are mentioned in the Old Testament. Again, the Old Testament was completed over 2,000 years ago, but these countries still exist today. Many people think that the time of the Great Tribulation is a terrible time, where God pours out his wrath upon mankind. And that is a partially true statement. Certainly God's wrath is poured out. But it's important to understand that the tribulation has a purpose. Jumping ahead a few chapters here, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 14, the angel speaking to Daniel said, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." God gives these prophecies, these visions, these dreams, and interpretation of dreams to Daniel because God loves Israel. "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people, Israel, in the latter days. Now I said that Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Greece, all of these countries existed back then, in the time of the Bible, and they exist today. If you look on a map, you'll find the land of Israel. But in A.D. 70, that's 1940 years ago, Israel ceased to exist as a nation, and all the Jews were scattered all over the world. And for about 1900 years, there was no nation of Israel. But we know that in the year 1948, Israel became a nation again. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8, who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. The birth of the nation of Israel, or should I say the rebirth of the nation of Israel in 1948, is a sign from heaven. It's the hand of God working in the affairs of men. This nation that did not exist for almost 2,000 years suddenly was reborn as a nation. And the Jews, even to this day, they will make their aliyah, they will move from whatever country they're in and begin to live again in the land of Israel. This is the hand of God. This is the hand of God. Many of the attacks against the authorship and authenticity and veracity of the book of Daniel is that its description of past events, in other words, people now in the 19th, 20th, and 21st century, will look at the book of Daniel and say, well, these descriptions are too accurate. Surely, the book of Daniel was written after the fact. When it talks about the Medes and the Persians, when it talks about Alexander the Great, when it talks about the rise of the Roman Empire, the events are described too correctly. And they said, surely it could not have been written over 2,000 years ago. It had to be written, let's say, in the Middle Ages. But you see, prophecy is God's revelation of the future. We say that God is omniscient. God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what will happen tomorrow, or next week, or next year, or 1,000 years from now. And these prophecies that God gave to Daniel, again, something like 2,700 years ago, were so accurate that the only way that he could have written them and gotten them correctly was that God, who knows the future, told him what to write. But when we see the nation of Israel prophesied to come back to life, and then all of a sudden, after not existing for something like 1900 years, all of a sudden just coming back into existence, it's unmistakable that that is the hand of God. Prophecy is one more evidence that the Bible is true. Atheists, scientists, historians, archaeologists, whatever, spend their entire career trying to disprove the book I hold in my hand. But every time they dig up a piece of pottery or discover a lost city, they're confronted with the fact that the Bible is true. You see, God knows the end from the beginning. God knows how this thing is going to turn out. And we as Christians should put our trust in God and not look at circumstances, not look at who's in office, not look at anything, but we should trust in the Lord. And as we see the signs of the times, you know, for decades it was common knowledge that the United States would never leave Israel, that they would always stand with Israel and defend Israel. But now the government of the United States, regrettably, is changing their policy. And now this country no longer supports Israel, no longer stands with Israel. And that, I believe, is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Again, I don't know when Christ will return, but as we watch the signs of the times, we know that the end is getting close.
It's gonna rain, it's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. Way back in the Bible days, Noah told the people it's gonna rain. But when he told them, they paid him no mind. And when it happened, they were left behind. I'll tell you, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. Oh, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. Listen. They tell me when the water began to pour, they knocked on the window, they knocked on the door. They didn't know exactly what to do. You don't want this to happen to you. I tell you, it's gonna rain, it's gonna rain. Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but fire the next time. Listen, Noah said, I'm sorry, my friend. God's got the key. You can't get in. If something don't happen to the hearts of men, the same thing is gonna happen again. I tell you, it's gonna rain, Lord. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time.
Hear this.
Noah told the people in plenty of time, but they were too sinful and they were too blind. And when it came that all tried to pray, but their prayer was too late. I tell you, it's gonna rain, it's gonna rain. Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God showed Noah the rainbow sign. It won't be water, but by the next time. It won't be water, but by the next time. Won't be water, but by the next time.
Old Paths Tabernacle is an evangelistic outreach of the Joey Kelly Broadcast. If you like good singing and good preaching, and are looking for Sunday night services to attend, please consider yourself invited. If you're coming from New Orleans East Bank, take the G&O or the Crescent City Connection to the West Bank Expressway and get off at Manhattan. Go through the Harvey Tunnel and turn right at the red light, which is MacArthur. Go two blocks and turn right at the fire station onto 8th Street. Go three blocks and turn right. Old Paths Tabernacle is right on the corner, meeting in Waymaker Ministry Sanctuary, 804 First Avenue in Harvey. If you're coming from the Huey or Boutee, get on the elevated expressway, then get off at MacArthur and turn left at the light. Remember, our services start at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and I hope to see you there.
Lord, take me back.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.